Oh, hello.
Oh,
that's okay.
Okay, you are?
Sabina Brennan.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for your time. I think we're all running busy. I sent you actually an email a few minutes prior that I was a little bit late myself.
Well, I was late for my meeting with Rob.
Oh, okay.
So we have our one-on-ones, and I was late for that. I've been late all day.
Okay. That's okay. It's finals week, so.
Okay. So, let me see. Do I need to pull up any information that you have sent out?
I have not. No, I have not sent you anything. I don't. You probably have a whole folder full of things, so I can imagine.
Okay.
This is not new.
Well,
your
and
predecessor
you know
worked
and
on this.
And
so.
I'm going to tell you, mm-hmm. I wasn't here. I really honestly don't know anything.
Okay. And I can imagine, like, you're busy just getting...
Well, and I typically...
Diving into it.
I don't listen to other people's comments. I don't.
I appreciate that.
Unless
okay.
I have a reason to go to a file.
Mm-hmm.
And I can honestly tell you,
okay.
I know you have a file.
Okay.
I've never even looked at it.
Sounds good. Well, I appreciate that.
So, I do know that you would like to refile a grievance that was initiated in 2014.
Yes.
But you withdrew that grievance.
Yes, I withdrew it. My attorney advised me because it was too late. It was already past 300 days. So it was about 11 months when I was supposed to get the grievance hearing. And I was right in the middle of the semester. I just had a... interviews regarding the 601 complaint, that troop 601 UWS 601 complaint with the chancellor.
UWS 601.
601.
I don't
even
know what that is.
It's I don't know. I can't recall it right now. But there are two options. You know, if you have a grievance, you can also file directly a complaint with the chancellor. And then the chancellor investigates and makes a decision based on that.
Okay.
And Dean Troop filed.
So
a
I'm
complaint.
Just going to go mm-hmm. back to the first email that you sent me, and that was in April, because you wanted to file a rebuttal to a grievance that you filed in 2014.
That was actually a rebuttal to the letter of direction.
Letter
I was
direction.
Told that I could have my rebuttal on file.
But and you can't. That
mm-hmm.
goes to your file.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that was based on the letter of direction going back to 2014. Right?
Correct.
Okay. So, but that was also the grievance that you that was related to the grievance that you withdrew.
Yes.
So, but I think it's important because you withdrew that.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me is gone.
Okay.
Okay, so then you were going to file a new grievance because additional information came to light.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Did you file that grievance?
That's the one I just filed, but Dan Fairchild said I could not have because it's already past the facts.
Who's that?
Dan Fairchild.
Dan Fairchild?
Yes, he's a professor in the music department. And he is the chair of the grievance committee again.
So he's in the music department?
Correct.
Okay. Now he did what? Now he...
He's the chair, I guess currently the chair of the grievance committee.
Okay.
And he responded that I could not have a grievance because it's already past the 300 days. Of filing the incident.
Okay, that's for the new grievance?
Correct.
Okay. So am I up to speed?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
So it's actually a double grievance because it's one against the dean and then because I, through the deposition, I learned more details. Several depositions.
And when were these depositions?
These depositions were made in fall of 2015. And I actually withdrew because my doctor advised me against having too much going on. I was I had an FLMA leave of absence in spring of 2015, and for a condition that could have been fatal. And so I had, you know, I mean, it's not a secret or anything. I had bleeding ulcers, very, very deep ones, and they would not respond to medication. And the doctor said it's too stressful, and with this work environment, they were very concerned. They had three endoscopic surgeries done in, let's see, from fall of 2014 until the last one I had in early summer of 2015, and they continued to show multiple deep ulcers, and so they were very concerned about my health condition. And that's why in fall I was I needed to take a lot of breaks, and the doctor urged me not to do anything that is too stressful, and that was one of the reasons that I withdrew the grievance hearing.
Okay.
Because at that time it was really already too late.
So that you withdrew that grievance going back, but you're trying to reintroduce the grievance now.
Correct.
Why now?
Because I've had some time to go over the depositions and the new evidence presented, and I have things that I can clearly show, prove why the letter of correction, direction is based on false facts.
But you withdrew the grievance. That's the problem.
Object, but I asked that I may have it reinstated later. So
that was an agreement that you made to reinstate.
Yeah,
it later?
I talked to Barbara Friedas. Yeah, she was the chair of the grievance committee at that time.
Okay, because I'm trying to understand, mm-hmm. because in a court of law, when typically when you withdraw a lawsuit, mm-hmm. or you withdraw a complaint, mm-hmm. it's gone. Mm-hmm. That is gone. So then you have to move forward with something new.
Okay, except for that was not named as the reason that I cannot have the grievance. So that doesn't seem to be the problem. Dan Fairchild did not say that was the problem why I couldn't have the grievance. He said it's because it's past 300 days.
I'm trying to help here.
Sure.
I can't figure out how to get around this, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. the grievance was withdrawn.
Mm-hmm. I had to for health reasons. I could not have it at the time.
So mm-hmm. then the problem is, mm-hmm. now we're way past the 300 days. Do you have anything in writing that says that you could introduce it at any time? Because that's contrary to basic law. I'm just trying to...
Okay, but that's not a legal case. It is a grievance.
It follows the same process.
But it has to be outlined in a way.
Well, no, because the thing is when something is withdrawn,
okay.
it's gone.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out a way to do a grievance when that
okay.
one's gone.
Okay.
So we have to... That's gone. So we have to... That's why there's nothing in there, because it's been withdrawn. So we don't have policy. See what I'm saying? It's gone. So now we have to figure out a way to reintroduce a grievance.
Okay.
And what's the remedy? What are you looking for? What's the remedy?
The remedy is to have the letter of direction being pulled, because it is based, and I can prove it's based on false statements, made up statements. I have.
So why don't you just write a letter asking me to remove it from your file?
If I can do that, I'll be happy to do that.
Why don't you write me a letter?
I'll do that.
Why don't you write me a letter?
Thank you. That is because
okay,
that's my.
Let's mm-hmm. start there.
Okay,
write
I do
me a
that.
Letter.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't need all the stress.
Okay. Yeah. I want to have less stress, no
yeah,
more.
Yeah. Yeah. Write me uh-huh. a letter.
I'll do that.
So then the other thing is, too, is you also sent an email saying that Mike Dalecki was pointing fingers at you,
mm-hmm.
and so just so you know that an investigation has now been initiated.
I appreciate that.
Okay. So I can't stop him. This is a public area. This is a public institution, so
mm-hmm.
he can go wherever he wants. He
mm-hmm.
has friends down in the criminal justice area. That's where you teach, right? criminal justice. So he has,
yes.
you know, so he has people down there that he's been friends with for years. I think they go to together and they do stuff together.
No, he's not. He's not telling the truth there. He doesn't
oh,
have friends
know.
There. The friends that he had was Kaywood, and he's long gone. So he does not, and maybe Ross, but these are all new people. He does not have, and they don't
and
like him. They
like
voted against, yes, and they voted against him as chair. So he's not. I truly believe that he's there to intimidate me, and he doesn't have. I mean, the chair, the new chair, is. Has made statements about him that were that indicate that she is definitely not friends with him. Neither is Starkman. She felt intimidated by him. There is the only one I can maybe see is Deb Rice, but he's never meeting with her.
And what's her name?
Deb Rice.
Deb Rice.
She's a staff member, and she's the one that defamed and kind of worked with him to kind of go after me. She's the only one, but he's not seeing her, so. And he, in fact, was very, very mad that he didn't get the chair's position. He wanted it. And I can even show you, it was a rigged search. It was chaired by someone who is a personal friend of him who has no affiliation with criminal justice at all. He was from the chemistry department, is Timothy Sauki. So if you want to see his friends, he should go to chemistry and meet with Sauki and not in criminal justice. The one person that he also met, visited briefly, you know, after he kind of pointed the fingers like that, he is a former student of mine who is also not fuzzy about him, warm and fuzzy about Dalecki at all. So it's not he's seeing friends there. And he's there at least once a week. And you can ask, like Steve Elmer, you can ask Joe Lomax, they're all saying, what the heck is he keep coming in here? He doesn't have no business here.
Okay. I just thought, because I knew that there was, I thought he was a chair.
He was interim chair, and he wasn't liked at all.
So
it's the opposite.
Okay.
People are all, he divided, he lost 7 people in 13 months under him. That's not being liked. I mean, our department almost fell apart. We run the FI program with adjuncts, many of them only with bachelor degree. And I brought it up at one point, and he threatened me. I almost got fired over it just because I said, like, this is not right. These students come in here, they were hired, and then we give them to adjuncts. They're not screened, they're not hired officially. And I wanted to teach in it, but I couldn't because I was condemned to lower level courses.
Okay, so I will look into this with Mr. Dalecki.
I appreciate
Actually,
that.
I won't. Someone else will.
Mm-hmm.
So, because if there's any discipline, then I would have to do that. So I will have someone do the investigation for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you would, send me a letter stating that you would like to have whatever it is that you want removed from your file.
Mm-hmm.
Send it to me.
And I can add the evidence to it to see why it should be removed.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is a reasonable request.
Okay. Yeah, because that's just, it's my personnel file. It's just, it weighs on me. We have a new chair.
And just so you know,
mm-hmm.
just so you know, anytime a personnel record request comes here, the employee is notified.
I appreciate that.
So an attorney from Milwaukee requested to see
mm-hmm.
your file.
He's not my old attorney, by the way, but I gave him the okay.
But you
mm-hmm.
gave permission.
Mm-hmm.
So I did copy you.
Mm-hmm.
That you know,
yeah.
Because there are files in the Chancellor Suite, the Provost Suite,
mm-hmm.
there are files.
Yeah.
I'm not going to release a paper unless you know what's
I appreciate that.
Being released.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I need to sit and go through your files.
Sounds good.
Because I don't.
And I tell you why that is looked into, because my file here, you know, when you go to my wisconsin.edu, kind of there to access your leave of absence records and everything, I had everything entered correctly, my leave of absence records, while I was on sick leave. until I came back. And it was a little confusing the way to do it, you know, especially since I then came back in the end of April. So I did make some mistakes, and Jane Laufenberg was very helpful. She was at that time the person in charge of the leave of absence
mm-hmm.
reports.
Mm-hmm.
And she helped me kind of with it, went back and forth a few times. And then at one point I says, am I all okay? Is there anything else? And she says, you are all set through the month of April. This is great, wonderful. So
okay.
Then I get my attorney contacts me. He got a call from UW Legal.
Your attorney.
My attorney. And June, I believe it was June of 2015, that I entered or claimed that I was on campus or was here at work when I wasn't during my sick leave, and that I falsified my account, and I have to address this immediately. And she did this on a weekend. Saturday at 7 o'clock in the evening, contacted my attorney. And then my attorney had to contact me and tell me that she says I have to get this done within 2 days. And I thought, the first thing is, I've never heard that when a leave of absence, when there's an inconsistency, that we would get contacted by UW
that
Legal.
This makes no sense to me.
Yeah, and I have all that documented. So I have everything with her email. And then I went in and I says, like, that's not possible. I had the okay, that everything was okay. I opened my account and I saw that my entry was changed after the fact. And I took screenshots of everything. And then I sent forward the emails I had from Jane Laufenberg. Everything was okay. I sent it to my attorney, forwarded everything. And says, like, doesn't make any sense. And now I have to pay my attorney for the time that he spends going back and forth with UW Legal to try to sort this out. When everything was already said, then while I had my account open, I was on the phone with my attorney and had everything documented, somebody went in there and changed it back after I reported it. And that's where I had a real, real issue, that this is that somebody is messing with my leave reports without, you know, I mean, not official. And I actually emailed Jane Laufenberg the same day when I heard from my attorney that my account was inaccurate. And she said, no, it's all good, you're all set.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all going on while, and then in the end, it ended up with UW Legal, Jennifer Lattice saying, like, to my attorney, oh, never mind, basically, it's all good, she doesn't have to do anything. I interpreted this as harassment. And then the next thing what I found is that in my pay stubs, my job title was changed from associate professor to assistant professor. Somebody had to go in there and change that. And I had screenshots showing when the months before when I was associate professor, and suddenly then it showed as assistant professor. So trying to provoke some kind of reaction from me?
Well, and I'm trying to figure out associate to assistant, which one's higher? I don't even know.
Associate,
okay. Because usually any time things are changed, there would be a letter.
And yeah, I was promoted to associate professor in 2012. I got tenure in 2013. So, I didn't lose that promotion or anything, so it didn't make any sense that it was changed.
No.
And so two times my HR records, my online records, were tampered with. And, you know, there's just so much going
even
on.
Even I can't tamper with HR
I know,
records.
That's why I don't understand. Why would somebody go in there when I already had everything approved? Everything was perfect. Somebody goes in there and suddenly shows like that I claimed to be here on 2 days when I wasn't. And that's why somebody is looking into this matter. And just so you know, there was a year prior to that happened to another employee in our department who then left and felt, and she didn't leave completely voluntary, so she felt pressure to leave. Danielle Bemis, and I have her email. She
wrote,
Danielle, D-A-N-E-L-L, Danielle,
okay.
Danielle with double L. And Bemis, I believe it was,
B-E-M-I-S.
I believe so. Okay. Yeah, I can look it up otherwise. So she reported. She actually CC'd me on that email because I taught cybercrime and stuff. And she said, "How is that possible? What shall I do?" And that's how she emailed me that she contacted the former chair Kay Wood on that matter and says she actually lost pay for several months over this because it showed that she was absent the entire month. I know she wasn't. She was there. So it's not the first time that happened.
Well, that's interesting because even I can't change it.
Mm-hmm. That's what I figured, that these are not easily accessible, so I don't understand what's been going on now.
But your records have been corrected, right?
Mm-hmm. Because there was when I shared all that email, when I shared that information, he shared it with Lettuce too. That's when suddenly things were changed back, and that's what I don't understand. It happened right in front of my eyes. I had my account open, and
so
while I was on the phone with my attorney, it was 1:15. Everything's documented. It was changed back to normal.
So the attorney that contacted us for the public records for your employee files is not your attorney.
No. He's somebody who's doing this on behalf of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court.
Kate.
C-A-D-E. Mm-hmm.
That's right. So he is working on behalf of the Supreme Court.
Correct.
Because you did get a letter from me, right?
Yes, I did.
So now I have a question, because your name is Sabina Burton.
Correct.
Is there any relationship to the name of Hill? Sabina Burton Hill?
No. Yeah, I saw that too, and
yeah,
I thought it was a typo. And then
Alberta, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, I wouldn't make that up.
No, it's. I mean, a typo is one thing, but
the thing
yeah.
is, I don't know anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know people.
Yeah.
So
oh,
like,
I understand.
You know,
yeah.
Like, I don't know who these people are.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
Like, okay. Huh. Okay. See, I thought he was your attorney.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
So, but. That's why I copied you,
mm-hmm.
regardless.
Mm-hmm.
You
no,
know, but anyway, it's an employee
yeah.
record.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, but he's not my attorney. Yeah, he contacted me too that he was given this case and that he's looking into and he asked for permission to get records, access to records. So I had to sign a form with him and I said, like, wait, you know, you're looking into this, so.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, one. You're going to send me a memo.
I will.
To remove the letter of direction. Two, I am going to look into Michael Dalecki, or my employee.
Thank you.
Okay.
And I brought this up. This is not the first time I mentioned that. So that was shared with officially with the attorneys before, and he didn't want to address that in his declaration. So it surprised me.
I can't tell you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do what you're comfortable
mm-hmm.
with.
I mean, it's fortunate.
But I'm seeing a whole lot of stress here that doesn't
yeah.
need to be here.
Mm-hmm.
The other challenge is you're not creating stress for anyone that you would like it to be stressful for.
Yeah.
Because
no,
they're not involved with any of this.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
That's why, you know, I was kind of happy he kind of was out of the department, and, you know, I just have a great working relationship with everybody except for Deb Rice, and she was the one. This is what the other grievance is about. And saying that it's 300 days past the deadline doesn't make sense because I asked repeatedly who made those defamatory statements, and I was never told their name. So that name just came up in a deposition when Dean Troop said Deb Rice is the one that that told her that I canceled class.
That deposition occurred when?
In October
28th,
2015.
That's not over 300 days.
That's why I asked Dan Fletcher, and says, like, how does it make sense?
So then request the grievance based on just that.
Mm-hmm. And just I did. That. I asked, I just got a letter back from him, and he doesn't even want to address that. I brought it up. I sent him an email. It's just like, with the letter of direction is one thing, but how can you then extend that to the grievance against Deb Rice? I mean, how else should I address this? And he didn't entertain it. He just said, like, it's past the 300. The incident happened 300 days prior. But I asked Dalecki, I asked Drew.
But when you became aware of it, correct?
Correct.
And you became aware of it in October of 2015.
Correct.
So that's within the 300 days.
Yeah.
So what I would do then, mm-hmm. this is what I would do, because he did deny it. I think he's denying it based on the incident occurring, but it also, simple and to the point, I became aware of this on October 28, 2015. I am requesting to hear this portion of the grievance. This portion of the grievance.
Right.
Just that. Mm-hmm. Keep it simple. Just that. Because ultimately, again, what's mm-hmm. the remedy that you want?
It's a really difficult working relationship. It's very hostile
for
me.
This isn't going to fix
it. And, I think there has to be, it has to be addressed with her. That she cannot say this. I mean.
But just so you know, mm-hmm. the grievance isn't going to help it. It's going to make it worse. I mean, but that's when you became aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, because I think in the grievance, if it's over 300 days, yes, they don't have to hear it, but you didn't become aware of this
mm-hmm.
part until October. So keeping it clean, file that, just that issue. But thinking of what you want to gain from this, that's not going to help. So I'm trying to come up with something that would help.
Okay.
So you have another idea?
I think for me, just getting some indication that it is addressed will help me.
Then is there another way to address it?
Mm.
I mean, instead of getting all these other people involved, is there another way to address it?
I know I can report it with the police. And I can
file
a civil lawsuit.
Defamation is again, defamation is hard to prove in the state of Wisconsin. It's hard to prove anywhere, but defamation is defamation.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's any element of truth, then there is no defamation. So I don't know what she said.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, you know what she said.
Mm-hmm. And I have actually have a sworn statement that she said that by the dean.
So,
and confirmed that I canceled when I didn't. And the interesting thing is I got an email from Mr. Lohmann in 2015, I think summer 2015, that both Dalecki and Troop agreed with him that the complaint against Rice has to go forward because she is unwilling to apologize. And then nothing happened. And I think if you look at it, after I was accused of canceling class and a complaint was filed as a result because I dared to ask my students to confirm that I was in class. And you know how it started? I had an excellent work record here. I was engaged in a graduate research. I love teaching, did overload. I had to direct studies without pay and everything. And then one day a student came to me and says, there's a professor so-and-so, he sent me this note, he sexually harassed me. What can I do? And this is like, well, we gotta go to the chair, Dr. Kaywood. I don't wanna talk to no male about it. I'm kinda like, I'm really uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable in class. He's done other things. He's been kinda rubbing up. He kinda talks about really weird sexual things in class. There were other female students uncomfortable. I saw, they gave me evidence, right? I mean, like, Dr. Gibson likes to wear thong underwear. And that was a question on an exam, right? Things like this. And so she said, you know, I don't want to talk to Mel about it. I says, okay, I'll try to see what I can find out. I took it to student affairs because I looked up policy says with student affairs. I reported it. I gave them the evidence that the student provided to me, and I thought that was it. I didn't address it with the professor himself, as a colleague. I told my chair about it because I told the students, the chair has to know. I mean, this is pretty serious. And I let it go from them. I thought that was it. I didn't judge it. I felt like, you know, they handle it, they investigate. I was just hoping there was somehow an explanation for that. My chair was pissed beyond everything that I dared to report.
Mr. Caywood.
Yeah.
Is it Dr. Caywood?
Dr. Caywood, yeah. That I reported outside of the department. And I should have talked to Gibson about that myself. And he was... just on and on, and that that they were dragged into the provost, and I had a meeting with the provost, the dean, and the HR director about it, and he had a problem. They were all females anyway, and Caywood really had an issue with that. He's kind of old guard and a bit sexist, and but he was totally defending the professor, even to this day. Says he doesn't see anything wrong with what the professor did. And then told the professor, well, you know, just apologize to the class. A grievance committee looked into that apology and said they called it slut shaming. That's what the apology made. And the student after that completely shut down, didn't want to have anything to do with anybody anymore, said she was completely humiliated the way it was addressed. And then all guns turned on me because how dare you take it out of the department. And I didn't want to take it. I was like, I fought back. I was like, you know, you can't do this to me. I was like, if I did something wrong, tell me. And if I really did something wrong, I will apologize. If I didn't do anything wrong, you better stop this. He defended me to Troop. And then Troop kind of like took it from there, and she heard it from somebody else who, you know, there is always some rivalry in departments. Nothing new, right? But somebody else thought like, you know, I take advantage of the situation and I kind of get out of the way so I can become the next chair. And so I really want to give Dean Troop the benefit of the doubt here. That's probably what happened, right? So that she heard, well, I'm kind of a problem and I complain and all that. And it took on a life on itself. And then Dean Troop couldn't go back from that anymore. So it became worse and worse and worse and worse. And nobody wanted to acknowledge that I was wronged. And that's all I wanted. It's just like, you know, I was defamed, I was wronged, I was embarrassed in front of a donor. I got $7,000 just to get something started, class, and get something. I was defamed to AT&T that I made false statements and things. I mean, got totally out of hand. And I just wanted this to be corrected. You know, I worked very, very hard to be. I was the first woman in federal law enforcement in Germany. I am very familiar with harassment, sexual harassment, very familiar with discrimination. I've never seen anything like this. I can take quite a bit. But I have two girls here, and one of my girls also got harassed. And there's some indication that it's connected. So she's going to Whitewater. She didn't want to have anything to do with Platteville anymore. My other daughter is handling things okay. She's here. She is like, you know, the dean says, the chancellor says, and everything. But it's, you know, I have two girls, and I really feel like I want to tell them, you know, you can be proud for who you are. And not just because you're female doesn't mean people can step all over you.
Well, I can't fix history.
I know.
I can't fix mm-hmm. history. I'm trying to figure out a way to move forward.
But I tell you how it affects me to this day, because I addressed the problems I had with Caywood at that time with grievances. I took it to the dean. I took it to HR. I was told because I couldn't, and I have a recording of that. Dean Troop saying, because I couldn't handle things on a local level, these problems on a local level, I wasn't chair material. So it has affected my career here. And for me, that's not acceptable. Because, you know, I cannot handle my superior retaliating against me, punishing me. I cannot handle that with just him when he refuses to talk to me. How can I address that with him?
With
Caywood.
Is he still here?
No.
And see, that's my problem. I can't mm-hmm. fix that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I understand, and I'm not asking you to fix that. I just wanted to give you a little bit of background.
Oh. When did Dr. Gatewood leave?
Some of 2000, let's see, no, 2013, that's when he became royal faculty. Last year, I believe.
So
yeah, he just retired.
So he must have retired before I came.
Correct, yes. Yeah, he stayed on, I believe, for one more year. Dr. Dalecki became the interim chair. He has no affiliation with criminal justice.
Okay.
He has no degree in criminal justice. He has not done any work. His dissertation was on organic food. He co-taught in sustainable energy with a program offered by chemistry department. He did that with Sauki. He was with the sociology department. I kind of know why he became chair. But he was. There were three grievance hearings on that. Gatewood addressed it too, and all of those hearings said like he was that Dalecki was appointed in violation of faculty governance. He was our interim chair for 2 years, and he was a friend of Gatewood's, and he's also like neighbor and friend with Troop. And he, from the very beginning, urged me I should let go of my complaint with the EEOC on this matter. And he pursued that pretty aggressively with me, constantly brought it up. He says, I can't talk to you about it. My attorney says, I can't talk to you about it. He kept bringing it up. And then at one point, he even says, like, okay, you know, I put in for equity pay for you. I didn't request that. And then I've been on the CCC, which is state college level on salary decisions. You cannot get equity adjustment without requesting it. So it felt like a bribe to me. And
well, see, now that's interesting because I've done equity adjustments here on campus
mm-hmm.
that I've initiated.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to be asked.
Okay.
I can do that when I see something that
okay.
I feel is unfair.
Mm-hmm.
So I have done some
mm-hmm.
that I have found on
mm-hmm.
campus that are unfair
mm-hmm.
in my world.
Mm-hmm. And it was just then when he heard that the case was going forward, he yelled at me in his office, and he says, like, you know, we gave you a pay raise, you know, and I'm doing
it has
this.
It nothing to do with what's right and what's wrong.
Mm-hmm. And I know this is not something for you to address anyway, so this, I
well,
totally understand that.
This is my issue, is that I want to make sure that everyone feels that they're valued here on campus,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, we welcome people to do their job and we pay them for an honest day's
mm-hmm.
work. I don't want people to feel that they are being harmed in any way.
Mm-hmm.
So I get frustrated that I can't fix history.
Mm-hmm.
So how can I move forward?
That's why I appreciate that you did that training, because I asked for it repeatedly. I says we need to have this addressed with sexual harassment. I mean, it was... there were two communication trainings ordered for my department. The first one by Mindy Denherder when she was the dean of LA&E, and I have the letter, I have everything, the documentation that was issued in 2010, and says mandatory communication training in the criminal justice department. As soon as she left our department meeting, Cable says, you're not going to do that. So it was never done, and nobody followed up on it. And so things really... we were a very, very dysfunctional department. Then again, the chancellor said in 2013, somewhere in August 2013, also in writing, said mandatory communication training in the criminal justice department. It did not occur. And then I've been blamed for not communicating properly. You know, so well, you know, it's just we had a lot of hostility going back and forth. I never had any issues. I worked for, professor for UC Irvine, very reputable school in California, and from 1996 until 2007, never had any issues there. And I come here, and right from when it started, there was a big thing between Gatewood and Fuller, and they had right there and kind of unofficial investigation by the LA&E school into Fuller's claim that Gatewood sexually harassed Fuller. And then she didn't have to report to him anymore and reported directly to the dean. And I was the only one working for both of them. And I tell you, it wasn't fun because they couldn't stand each other. And I was a new hire. It was my first year here. And I just got the bickering for both sides. And I had to kind of pick a side, right? And I says, I can't pick a side, you know, like I like working for both of them, you know. I love teaching on campus, I love teaching in an online grad program. I mean, just like, you know, leave me alone. I kind of needed a signature for my online grad teaching. He was like, I'm not going to sign it. I mean, it was just back and forth. It was ridiculous. We had two investigations in my first 2 years that I've been in this kind of math. The first one was done by Dan Herder. The second one was done by Alison Bunte. And now, but I tell you, on a good side, Dr. Strobel, our new chair, is wonderful. And I'm very comfortable working with her. And she's the one that, you know, from me teaching on the intro level courses, you know, graduating senior seminars. I have a very good relationship with her. You know, it's just the way it's supposed to be.
Well, it should be.
But she's somebody who's really brought our department together. So she's the first one who, she's very inclusive, she's very correct, she listens carefully. We have very productive department meetings with her. And that's why I'm kind of concerned with, you know, that like he kept coming back. And I know he wanted this job. I mean, he wanted it. And
yeah,
there was...
That's over and done.
Yeah.
So you're going to send me a memo.
Mm-hmm.
I will initiate the investigation for Michael Dalecki. The person who will do that is not here until Monday.
That's fine.
That's the 16th, I think. And it doesn't solve the issue.
And then I'll ask, I send an email then to Dan Fairchild with what you recommended, saying was there.
I would ask him the question. Mr. Fairchild, thank you for responding so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to be aware that I was not aware of this information until October 28th of 2015, period.
Mm-hmm.
I feel I am within the 300 days.
Okay.
Please respond.
Okay, I appreciate that. I'll send it right that, like that. Okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because it's, the reason I want this to be addressed is I want these defamatory remarks to stop. I mean, there's been, my finances have been discussed. I traveled to...
Well, my father would say we can't fix stupid.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, people talk about mm-hmm. people.
Mm-hmm. But it's not just talking, it's talking negatively. You know, it's just really lies. For example, that, that I don't like certain people, which... And I can prove that has nothing to do with. It is just really undermining my work.
But this is from Deb Rice.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's what I would do. Because to me, you're within 300 days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's probably not going to get heard until August.
Yeah. The main reason that I brought it up actually toward the end was because I wanted to be really sensitive to kind of the issues in the department, and I thought like, you know, and I actually brought it up so that it could have been still heard before the semester ended, and that was my goal, so that I don't like to do anything that hurts the operation in the department, and I thought it would be more sensitive to
the problem is, from my perspective, I've received telephone calls from a faculty member wanting to make sure that you're heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in the First Amendment right. The problem is I don't feel that I should speak to him.
Okay.
So now what?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
So when other people are included in the emails,
mm-hmm.
that puts, I can't do my job.
Okay.
In essence, I can't do my job.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to respond to this person who left me a voicemail today.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel that I should share information.
Okay.
Because to me, it's a personnel issue.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
So but he reached out on your behalf,
mm-hmm.
just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
You probably know who it is. But I don't feel that I should, to me this is a personal matter, let the process flow properly
mm-hmm.
is what I wanted
mm-hmm.
to do.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm not surprised, honestly, that Dan Fairchild did do that, because he did the same thing in 2014, where he did not give me a grievance, and he kept, again, I have all the documentation for it. They said, like, oh, we schedule a hearing for you next week. He didn't. And then I said, like, and then again, we scheduled the week after. He didn't. He drew it out for 2 months, and it was given to somebody else. And then that person says, oh, you know, there was no date on your intake. This is what I mean. It was sent by email. There is, of course, a date on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Balachandran at that time, he took over. And then he says, well, you know, we can have a hearing on those and those days. Just tell me which day would work for you. So I told him which day worked for him. And then he was gone. He left the country during those days. Didn't give me a hearing. So it just happened before. So I don't know what Mr. Fairchild's story is on that. Dean Troop sent an email out at that time and said that she does not want to have a grievance hearing. And, you know, she's his dean. I don't know whether she had a talk with him and says, like, this is not going to happen.
But was that the one that you withdrew? Is that a different one?
That was before, yeah. I mean, when there had one against Dalecki that didn't work. And that had to do with these threats and all that.
Okay.
So I never got that hearing. I wanted to have that addressed at that time. Never got it. And then after the letter of direction was issued, I asked for a grievance hearing, and I didn't hear from the grievance committee to have unscheduled for 11 months, even though the policy says within 20 days it's supposed to be scheduled.
Well, and so now, if you file this grievance against Dr. Rice, is it?
Mrs. Rice, yeah.
Okay, is it Mrs.?
Yeah, she's a staff member.
Okay, so Mrs. Rice. So, again, I don't know how they work their days,
mm-hmm.
but it would probably be in the fall, because it would
mm-hmm.
be 20 working days would be my understanding,
okay.
I would think.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go ahead and
and send it just the way you said,
yeah,
and that's how we'll do it.
You would like to be heard on that issue.
Mm-hmm.
At least to be heard. And
yeah.
Can we force someone to apologize?
Oh, I know that. And even if somebody is forced
to,
it's not sincere,
but
then
but
it's...
But at least it's on record.
Yeah.
So I get that.
Mm-hmm.
So now the person that called on your behalf today,
mm-hmm.
how should I respond to him?
I think if you tell him, it's a him, right, that we had a talk and you addressed it. So I think...
Because I don't
yeah.
feel... To me, this is a
mm-hmm.
personnel issue.
Mm-hmm.
This is...
Mm-hmm.
This is
yeah, I did not know that somebody would call you, so nobody told
so,
me.
So, and
mm-hmm.
the person wants to make sure
mm-hmm.
that you are heard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm trying to encourage that to happen.
Yeah.
So I think, going back to the issue in 2014, no.
Mm-hmm.
But when you found out substantive information in October of 2015,
mm-hmm.
you're within 300 days.
Yeah.
So initiate the grievance only on that.
I will do that. I will do that. And then I send you the memo.
Send
yeah.
you the memo?
I send you the memo about the letter of direction.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes. But please don't copy everybody else, because
I will
me
not.
It's a personnel issue, and I don't
not
think
yeah.
it's right to have other people involved.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
I want you to be heard on the right issue.
Sounds good. I will do that.
So
yeah.
Let's approach it from that
yeah.
direction.
The main reason I copied, because a lot of things were circulated around, including Dalecki went to, for example, to people like Dr. Terry Burns, tried to say bad things about me. That is. And I don't like people talking behind
well,
back. Talk to me in person, and I asked. I have an email too. I asked him, let's sit down, let's talk about it. The HR initiative helped us with mediation. And then suddenly they stopped it. He didn't want to be. He lied on something. I pointed out he lied.
Who was that?
That was with Jen DeCoste and John Lohman. There was mediation mediation attempt in 2014.
And who was that with?
John Lohman as the interim HR director,
yeah.
and then Jim DeCoste.
Jim DeCoste.
Yes.
And who else was involved in the mediation?
Mike Dalecki and
oh,
I.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And after he was caught in a lie, he just suddenly, the whole thing disappeared, no more. And then Jim DeCoste actually told me, I still can file a grievance. So I filed a grievance, and then I didn't get it. And then next thing is I get a letter from Dean Troop, the letter of direction, saying like I'm filing all these complaints and stuff like this, and you know, and that's and ordered me not to complain about it anymore. So Jim DeCoste says I can file a grievance if
you
the mediation is wrong. So you know, I mean, just that has to. I mean, I've been threatened. I've been told I have a direct line of shot into my office. That is just.
It is important to understand when you file a grievance
mm-hmm.
that it it's very disruptive.
Oh, I know that.
It's very
absolutely.
Disruptive. And so being aware of that is important.
Mm-hmm.
Because
trust me, my life has been very disrupted because of a student complaint, a sexual harassment complaint. I had no idea this would happen. I never in my life filed a grievance before.
So let's see if we can
mm-hmm.
at least have a conversation. You have something, I mean, to mm-hmm. me it's very black and white. You have something that was acknowledged in a deposition that's
mm-hmm.
truthful.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Exactly.
I would like to have an apology.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
And get hurt.
Perfect, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
That sounds good.
Just start.
Yes.
Wish I could make things all better.
Yeah, I wish so too. I wish you were here earlier.
I wish I were.
Because I told the HR director who handled it when it became an issue in the first place, just talking about just to let go, and Tom is Tom, and that's just how he is, and just wait it out until he retires, and then actually told him that, you know, then she said like, well, okay, you know, after, she kept saying like, I don't have time, it was a half a year later, right, and then she said, okay, you know, I do mediation between the two of you, so we talk about the issues between Dr. Caywood and myself. And Caywood never responded to her. So after 3 weeks, she said, well, he's not getting back to me, so I guess,
that
you know, if you want to file
your
grievance.
Incivility, and I would have ordered him to my office.
Yeah, didn't happen. She just said she tried and.
Okay.
So that's what started. So if we had you earlier here, then we never do that.
To this faculty member.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much for your
thank
time.
Thank you.
And thank you for
thank you.
Listening.